Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, you guys and gals, welcome in. Time for the KER Economics Report featuring Jim McKinney and heard on all these 25 syndicated stations that carry the show. We have a number of things we're going to talk about today. The first one is the effect of Prigozhin's death on, you know, general conditions around the world. Jimmy, you want to start out?
Yeah, sure. And I think for the second segment, we'll talk a little bit about the economy, what's happening in Europe and China, which will affect the U.S.
You bet.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Maui and the unfortunate irresponsibility of the local government and the cover-up that's ongoing. And then we'll finish it up with politics, because, of course, we got to talk a little bit about the debate this week.
Yeah.
And, of course, the interview with Tucker Carlson and Trump's arrest.
You bet.
Plenty of information out there. But to get back to Prigozhin. So Prigozhin, and just to remind people out there, he's the man who started Wagner. Wagner was a military contractor for the Russian government, basically their Blackwater, that went out and deployed around the world to support their strategic objectives. It was the most capable, though small, the most capable fighting force that the Russian government had at its disposal. And Prigozhin got very rich and very powerful, formerly a contractor, a food contractor, and they call him Putin's chef, but a very close relationship with Vladimir Putin, of course, the president of Russia. And what happened was, as the Russian special military operation into Ukraine started off, the Wagner forces were used very specifically for important missions. Now, Wagner had been operating in Syria and around Africa and then doing, you know, basically some dirty deeds for a while. And of course, if you remember a few years ago, under the Trump administration, a large Russian contract force of Wagner forces attacked a Free Syrian Army base that had U.S. Special Forces on it, and they were decimated. A couple hundred Wagner troops were killed. But from those experiences, they did have a tremendous amount of skill and high-quality technical equipment and very relatively well-trained troops. So when the fighting in Bakhmut, the very ugly fighting in Bakhmut between Ukrainian forces and Russian forces started getting bogged down, the Ministry of Defense, the Russian Ministry of Defense, and Putin had Wagner and Prigozhin move in. They basically managed to gain the ground around Bakhmut. And unfortunately, the Ministry of Defense did not perform well with resupply and did not perform well in taking those positions to support Wagner's forces. Prigozhin became very animated and publicly reprimanded the senior leadership and the general officers in the Ministry of Defense. In particular, the defense minister, Shoigu, and the chief of general staff, General Gerasimov.
Yeah.
That did not make very many people happy. And of course, because of his incredible military capabilities and his closeness to Putin, he had a tremendous amount of influence and had a lot of influence over the Russian population, because he was, you know, tweeting and on Telegram and social media channels constantly talking about issues and highlighting the failures from the Ministry of Defense.
Yeah.
And of course, we see those because, you know, Russia attempted to control the outcomes in that special military operation, and it's been now nearly a year and a half, and it's still quite an ugly problem. So what happened after the pullout from Bakhmut? Prigozhin and his Wagner forces withdrew from Bakhmut. Regular Ministry of Defense forces came in to defend it.
Yeah.
There was fear that Prigozhin would have probably too much influence and had actually embarrassed the senior military leadership. There were some incidents that are unclear, but there were artillery shellings on Prigozhin's camps and positions after the fallback for Bakhmut. And he blamed the Ministry of Defense. Prigozhin blamed the Ministry of Defense. because of that, in May, he actually marshaled up a couple of, 20,000, roughly 20 to 30,000 troops, and moved on the Southern Military District headquarters in Rostov-on-Don, very rapidly taking control of the Russian Ministry of Defense command headquarters in the region. From there, he began moving towards Moscow. If we remember, this was a very intense and very rapid movement. It was actually, a Patton-esque move, or blitzkrieg type action, and got within an hour and a half of downtown Moscow. Putin had to withdraw into St. Petersburg, and there was a negotiated settlement between Lukashenko, the president of Belarus, and Putin and Yevgeny Prigozhin to say, hey, no, backing off. And Prigozhin said, hey, I wasn't angry at Putin. I'm not trying to take over the country. I'm very frustrated with the failures of the Ministry of Defense. That's what I was fighting for. In spite of shooting down a number of Russian military aircraft, he was claiming, hey, this was in the best interest of trying to force them to perform better on the battlefield and protect the honor of Russia.
Right. Now, I have to believe I believe that Putin was very, very embarrassed by what happened. I mean,
he publicly stated so.
Yeah. He is the leader of the country, and he's got an awful lot of pride. Now, supposedly, according to CFS, who is one of our listeners who just gives us wonderful...
Well, we got to finish this story. So what happens next is he cuts an agreement to move his forces into Belarus with Lukashenko. Lukashenko says, come here. But then there's still negotiations and speaking between Wagner and Prigozhin and Putin and Ministry of Defense. It looked like things were calming down, but then 2 days ago, his plane is flying back from Africa, goes to St. Petersburg, and then along with another plane is actually flying to Moscow and falls out of the sky. There's speculation that it was shot down. There's speculation there was a bomb on it. There's speculation that it could have just been an accident. That's what the ministry, public affairs and Putin is claiming. And Putin is actually saying, well, he was an honorable guy, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is this is a very complex problem with a lot of different people that were concerned about him. And he did have international warrants on his head, and it's hard to judge exactly what happened. But the implications for stability and the trust of both the Russian people and military leaders certainly will be in question, and there will be more international pressure to identify what happened in spite of the fact that we probably will never fully know the full story. There is a lot of intrigue going on behind the scenes in the Kremlin right now, and that's the most dangerous situation we can have.
Well, of course it is. I mean, this is a guy who really accomplished quite a bit with not exactly a large amount of firepower, and Putin's not going to let that go necessarily. I think this is going to continue, and I don't know how much worse Putin can do other than, kill a guy, theoretically kill a guy who made him look pretty bad. I think personally it should have been a wake-up call to Putin. I mean, Putin's been screwing around in Ukraine, and he's gotten nowhere to date. Go ahead.
The unfortunate reality is that there's a lot of people that could have been involved in this, including Wagner individuals themselves.
Right.
But there were 10 people on board, apparently. So some innocent people there, including the stewardess. And I think that Shoigu and Gerasimov had the highest probability of taking him out of fear that he has too much power. And I think we got to move on to break pretty quick.
We have to move on to a break here in about 5 seconds. Let me take care of it right now. You're listening to the KER Political Report featuring Jim McKinney.